GoodSuccess.com. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of learning how to feed once again today. Thank you because we know that you have prepared your word, you have prepared the secrets to reveal to us. Let no one return back the same way. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. The topic remains strategies for winning in business, a biblical common sense guide. So last week we were able to learn a couple of things, and our focus last week was on what problem do you solve for people and who do you solve it for. Those were two secrets about you defining who you're going to serve. So it all begins with you knowing who you're actually being sent to, who you're going to serve. So in business, you are not going to serve everybody. Everybody's not going to be your own client or customer. I think I heard something recently about, it's a Lamborghini, that high-end line of cars. And they said you can't see their advert on TVs or maybe on internet and things like that, because the people who can actually afford these things don't have time to watch TV. So they don't bother wasting time to advertise on TV. That's why you can't see Lamborghini advertising their car. You can see Toyota advertising their car, probably Mercedes and Honda and all the other cars, because the people can afford these things can be found watching TV. They have time to watch TV. But those who buy Lamborghini, those who can afford this thing, they don't have time to watch TV. They are super busy people. So they don't bother wasting their time advertising to those people, because now they know the problem they solve and who they solve it for. So the same way, if you and I don't know who we are meant to serve and the problem we are meant to solve for these people, then we are going to miss them. We are going to start advertising the right product to the wrong people. We should not be. That's why what you did last week is very important. If you missed it somehow or you've not listened to it again, please go to the website and listen to it. And also, last week, the focus was on you and I, the business person, the business owner. I'm trying to focus on myself to make sure my vision is clear, my focus is clear, so that I don't focus my energy on the wrong set of people. Instead of annoying these people, why not put all my energy together to the right people who I've been sent to? So today, just like last week, our focus will now be on the customers. These customers that I've been sent to, why should they choose me over other people? How do I make these customers choose me? And not only that, how do I make them stay with me? Except the service you provide is a one-time thing. But even if it's a one-time thing, you want these people to be able to tell other people about you, right? So it's not just about these people being happy with what you do. They should be happy enough to tell others about you. Let me ask a question. How many of us will probably buy something because a friend you trust told you about it? If you need that product and where that person purchased it is accessible to you and you can afford it, there is almost a 99% probability that you're going to buy from that same person. Somebody already had the experience with that person or that product and used it and has that testimonial to share with you that, wow, I bought this particular product in this particular place and I've used it for a year. Okay, let me give you an example. We had this blender for fruits, pepper and all those things. And it had a fault. So we needed another one and we told someone, I said, oh, wow, don't even bother yourself. This is the particular product you should buy. We've used our own for, I can't remember, maybe a year or 2 years. They said they've used it for all manner of things and it's still working properly. Guess what we did? We didn't even look for any other thing. We went for that particular product and bought it. Super expensive, but we bought it because somebody else told us their own experience with this product. So the same way, you want people to be able to choose you because of something. And what is that thing? Two things. Those are the things we'll be looking at today. They can be classified under two headings. Number one is quality product. Quality product. That is the reason why people will buy from you. quality products or quality deliveries or quality offerings. People will buy from you if they know or they perceive. Please remember the next one. Perceived quality is even one of the major reasons why people will buy from you. If I have not used your product before, why will I even trust you? But if I perceive that you have what I need, you provide what I want, either my need or my want, if I can perceive it and feel that is exactly what you do, then I'm most likely going to buy from you. Do you know what those people did to us when they told us about that blender? They made us perceive the quality of that product. When that person bought our own, probably like 2 years or so ago, right? But do you know that they could have reduced the quality of what they do now? Most likely they may have reduced it. There are some products that what you bought 2 years ago is not the same thing you're going to buy now. So, but we went ahead because we perceived that they have good quality products. So the same way, people are going to come to you because they feel, that's the word perceive, because they feel, they just have this feeling in their head that you're going to give them what they need or what they want. So they come to you because they perceive that the quality you offer is what they need or want. They have this gut feeling that you're offering them high quality, or when they have been convinced by the testimonials of other people who already experienced your offering. Many of us probably are in the church we are now because of the testimonies of other people. Maybe somebody else gave a testimony that, oh, this has been happening, or you've been hearing a couple of testimonies. Other people have been talking about it. Before I went to Redeem Church, when I was still in the Redeem Church, I already heard about Redeem. In fact, they made drama in the church I was then, and they were saying, somebody shout hallelujah. So I didn't even know about this church, but I was hearing a lot of things about the church. So when I went there, it was not the people in the church that even convinced me. It was some other people, the other things I've heard, watching Baba Dewi on TV and all that. The same thing when I came to the church I am now. I already probably read books from Bishop Oyedepo, seen different things. I was super convinced that when I went there, I went with great expectation. So the same way in your business, people are going to come with expectations. But will they be aware of that expectation? Will they be sure of that thing that you said you're going to be doing? Yes, we're going to be talking about this more under what we call communication. Because people need to be able to see. Mark the word see. Not just hear. See that you are the right person for them. So, advertising lets people see the quality, to perceive that you have the quality they need. But the real thing, what actually make them stay with you, is when they realize that what you said is actually better than what you said it, or it's actually exactly the way you said it. It must not be less. It should be better, as even Christians. When you say that the quality I offer is 1, 2, 3, when they come, let them say 1, 2, 3, 4. That keeps them. That makes them super happy to convince other people to come to you eventually. So you want to give them quality and let them experience high quality. As children of God, the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you have said this is what you will get, people must get it. This is why people will choose you. They will eventually be attracted to you because of passive quality. But why will they stay? Because they have experienced that quality. So the second reason why people will choose you over other people is because of quality relationships. I can't stress this enough. Quality relationships. Two reasons. Number one, quality product and quality offering. Then number two, quality relationships. Look at all the big companies we have in the world. Just look at it. Think about them. Microsoft, whatever their names are. If you look back now, you will see that these two things can be found there. I think I've shared it before. Because I have a service with Google, they run my business email. I've been able to communicate with them like 2 or 3 times. Those people have quality offerings. That's their customer care is top-notch. Then I said to myself, no wonder Google is Google today. If you chat with them, they are the best people to chat with that I've ever experienced in my life. I've had a chat with other people, talk to customer care here and there in the world. But these guys, it's obvious that they really care about what you experience. I told you, one of them, I was chatting with him, and he was trying to solve the problem, but the solution I need was beyond his jurisdiction. So he connected with other people, then he stayed online to wait that in case that person asks a question I can't answer, it will help me. That I should just ask him, it will help me to answer it. The same company. Normally, what happens is that one of them will just say, okay, I'm transferring to other people and disappear. No, the other person waited. He was patient. No, it's obvious that no, these people are actually creating good relationships. What do you think I'm going to do next time? I'm going to refer other people to them. Oh, you want to run your email? I think you should just use Google. Because see, when you have an experience, it goes beyond the mental sense. It goes to your emotions. And do you know what? Most of the decisions we take them by emotions. We are spiritual people, but we take them by emotions. That's why the Holy Spirit sometimes appeals to our emotions to make us realize things. You feel something. That's why somebody say, I feel God is here. Do we really need to feel God is here? Don't we know God is here? He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you really have to feel him before you know? But you know, there are certain circumstances that need you to feel that God, you are actually here. If you don't feel it, you feel dejected, you feel so many negative things. But because you feel it, yes, you are happy. God made us emotional. So if you cannot relate with your customers on an emotional level, then you will begin to lose them to those who can do so. Quality relationships is why people will stay with you. People come to you because of high quality. Even whether it's church. See, the truth is that when people are your brothers, that's biological brothers or spiritual brothers or sisters. The truth is, when you actually need good solutions, do you go to them if they can't deliver quality? If you've experienced fake quality from them before, do you go again? You try to avoid them. It doesn't matter how related they are. You are going to spend your money. So the same way, after people have perceived quality, if they feel that you don't really care about them on that emotional level, that you can't really feel what they feel, then they may leave you and look for someone else for reasons that cannot be explained. Do you know that most times when people complain about products, even you think about it now, let's say you bought a particular product or you are using a particular service, and when you reached out to customer care, they actually attended to you well. Do you know that most likely you are still going to stay with them? But imagine if they didn't attend to you well, oh, we are busy, just go away. You are immediately going to be thinking about alternative. Even if you find it difficult to change, you will be thinking about alternative immediately. That I think I just need to change this people and do for someone else. That's exactly the same way you think is how people think about you. So if you cannot deliver quality relationships to people, you may lose them eventually. So how do you deliver quality relationships? Number one, deliver your quality products well. How you deliver the quality product matters. If, for example, you are serving kings, and you serve kings like chiefs. Chiefs are close to kings, just like, let's say, ministers, senators. They are close to presidents, but there's a world of difference between those two people. Kings are different from chiefs. So if you serve a king, as little as it is, like a chief, you may listen. You will go to somebody who serves him like a king. If you serve a chief like a common man, you will still lose him. Because they say, we want to be served. So that's why you need to know who you serve and serve them accordingly. But do you know the funniest thing? If you serve a common man like a king, make him feel important. Make him feel that even though what he's paying is maybe 50 naira a month, but the way you are attending to him, he wants to say, man, when I become rich, I will go for that higher plan. I want to do something better. I want to stay with these people because they value me when I was small. Have you heard it before? I think I've heard somebody said it before. He said there's a particular bank that maybe when he wanted to start business, they didn't give him attention. He didn't have money, and he went there. He said the way they were attending to him. He said, now that I'm rich, they are coming. He said, no, I will stay with a bank that had my attention when I didn't have anything, and now they're still serving me. He said, I would rather stay with those people because they valued me when I had no value, in quotes. So how you relate with people, how you deliver your product matters. For example, if you are selling a premium product, in quotes, you want to increase the value of a product and you package it anyhow. Trust me, it is people who can afford to receive that kind of packaging that will come to you. But if you package it for kings, then kings will be attracted to you. So how you handle issues is also another way to deliver quality relationships. How do you handle issues? The truth is that customer is right almost 99% of the time. That thing we say that customer is always right, I know there are some times they are not right, but almost all the time, customers are right. Most times, even me, from my own example, I don't know about you, but from my own example, when I'm angry and I go to a customer care and I'm trying to reach out to them, do you know that if somebody would just come and say, oh, we are really sorry, that word sorry alone, sorry about what you're going through, and they acknowledge that you're actually going through it, even if in their own knowledge, they know that, oh, this fault is from you, let them first acknowledge that you are going through this issue. Really sorry about it. You are angry. We are very sorry. This is how we can help you. And you actually take that time to help that person. Do you know what? These people are going to become happy. There's a thin line between a very happy customer and a disgruntled customer. A very thin line. Your communication determines how they're going to relate with you. How do you attend to customers, even when they are coming for the first time? First impression, they say, lasts a lot. How do you attend to these people? You are so busy, you have made so much money. Now, somebody comes again after that time, you just attend to them anyhow, or you feel they won't sell. How many of us have been to shops before? When they look at you from head to toe, and they just feel you can't afford what they are selling, and they talk to you anyhow. I've experienced several times, especially in some particular kind of shops. You go there maybe because you dress normally, they just look at you from head to toe, and just feel you can't afford what they are selling, when you can actually buy their whole shop. So, no matter how it comes, as a child of God now, not as the people of the world, as a child of God, the Bible says something to the church, which applies to everyone. It says, if somebody comes to your midst, dressed in rags, dressed anyhow, he said, don't attend to this person shabbily. He said, treat everyone with respect. So, if somebody comes to you dressed shabbily, yes, maybe this person cannot afford what you are selling, but still treat that person with respect. Maybe what you afford is just in millions, and this person can only afford something in thousands, maybe 10,000 maximum. Treat this person with respect, because you don't know the future of this person. This person is eventually, if he stays with God, eventually going to grow. And you're going to lose that person when time comes. Somebody values your product. Thank that person that, wow, thank you for even considering us. Thank you that you are even considering us for service. Yes, you can afford it, but thank you so much. In case you even know someone who can afford it, can you please send them to us? Or you can even, if somebody told me a story. He said, there's a particular client that came to him, and they were asking for some things. And he said, the amount you want to pay for these things is lower than what I offer. But you know what I'm going to do? I know someone who can deliver something good, maybe not in my own quality, but something good based on your own budget. And he said he referred those people to them. Now he has helped them. He didn't make any money. He just helped those people achieve their dreams. At that point, he said when those companies grew up and they were able to afford his own services, he said they came to him. Now he helped them to grow to his level. There's a company I talked to recently. They did the same thing for me. They said, okay, these are the things we charge and all that. He said, oh, okay, you can't afford it. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give you another product that can help you grow up so that you can afford the other one. Can you imagine that? So if you do the same thing and respect everybody, treating everybody with respect, no matter where they are in life, you have actually determined how long people will stay with you and how loyal they are going to be with you and how they'll be glad and willing to tell others about you. Now, if your product is good and it's of high quality, people may not tell others about you, except they feel in their feeling that they are having a good time with you. So if they are really having a good time with you, maybe providing other qualities, other products, other things, even in addition to what you are doing for them, they'll be super glad to tell others about you. In the past how many years, I've not even done any advertisement for business. Or I can say that business has not been coming maybe by any advertisement. It's been coming majorly with people telling others about what we do in our company. I've seen people referring, oh, good experience, telling others, oh, this guy can do the work. Many of them right now that I have are people that came through referrals. So you want people to find it easy to refer you. Relationships rise and fall on communication, even in marriage. I believe all problems are actually hinged on communication, both verbal and non-verbal. You may say it's money, you may say it's all those things. Poor people, they are very poor people who have good marriages. So it's not about money, actually. It's really not about money. It's about communication. When there is no money, how do you guys communicate with each other? The same thing in business. Physical abuse is just a form of negative feedback, only that it's done in the wrong way. People get angry with each other every day. But how will you communicate this to the other person? Physical abuse is just someone who cannot restrict his or her emotions. The same way, see, if you can't restrict your emotions in business, a customer did something annoying and you also gave it to him the same way he gave it to you. No, you're going to lose him. Not only him, other people are watching you. Do you know why banks, when people shout and begin to make noise, why they attend to them quickly? If they attend to them anyhow, everybody in that hall will become angry. They were watching when that person was shouting. They didn't talk. But let's say the people in the bank also started shouting at that person. Guess what? Everybody in that bank now will become angry and shout at them back. Many of them are angry. They are just keeping their emotions and are able to control it. Somebody else came and shouted. They quickly called them. Oh, sorry. Let's attend to you separately. Because it's going to infest other people with his anger and his lack of control of emotions. The same way, if you don't control one angry customer, it's going to affect other people. It's going to affect other people who are coming. So if you want to attract them, number one, let people perceive the quality you offer. And this takes us to the place of communication. That's why I was mentioning communication in the later part. Communication is what you and I need to master. We're going to dedicate several episodes on communication, and you're going to see several areas of communication in business. How do you even communicate your value? People will not know what you offer if you don't tell them what you offer in the right way. There's a way to tell them. See, I've met a couple of people that when they tell you what they offer, you feel like taking all your money and just buying that product right away, even if you don't need it. I'm not talking about cajoling people and deceiving people. No, but there's a way to actually communicate these things. The Bible says something. It says, sweetness of the lips increases learning. Let me use that word we use in Nigeria. Your mouth is sweet. Say, his mouth is sweet. All of us need to learn how to talk with only sweet mouth, in quotes. In fact, the truth is, the reason why women say yes to men most times is because of their sweet mouth. They tell them all the nice things they want to hear. I'm not talking about the city. But if you don't learn how to compliment people, somebody looks good. For example, as a man, you can't see the person who looks good. And you now eventually want to say, come and marry me. The person will say, I don't understand. You can't even see anything good in me. You saw it. You knew it. But you didn't express it. So communication is everything, even in business. How you react to people is communication. People eventually find out whether you care about them genuinely or you don't care about them or you just need their money. So for a believer, business is not just a means of making money. It's a means of doing ministry and a tool for evangelism. Portraying who Jesus is to the world in word and in deed. So you are showing who Jesus is to the world. That is why the quality of the things you give matters. Look at Jesus, for example. What we are looking at is scriptures. The Bible says that his name shall be called Jesus because he will deliver his people from their sins. That's a complete statement of what Jesus came to do. His name will be called Jesus. The product was named, if I may call him that product. Then, because of what? He will deliver his people. Jesus at that time was to focus on Israel, not anyone else. When the Holy Spirit came, the focus of the Holy Spirit was to focus on the Gentiles. But Jesus himself, when he came as a man, was to focus on Israel. He will deliver his people. You must know who your people are from their sins. The problem is sin. That is what Jesus came to do. So once you know this, every other thing you do will be about communication. Jesus spent 30 years learning to prepare what he would do. Then he spent the 3.5 years actually became active for the whole world to see, communicating. He communicated in words, communicated in deeds. In words, he was teaching people, telling them about the kingdom, telling them about the product, in quotes, that he has come to offer people. He was saying it for 3.5 years. And guess what? He didn't do it for 3.5 years. He only needed to do it within maybe a couple of hours he was hanging on the cross. But guess what? 3.5 years communicating and communicating and communicating. And then he did it in deeds, miracles. He was performing the miracles, telling them about the kingdom. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. Joy, peace in the Holy Ghost. This is what it looks like. He was practicalizing it, demonstrating it. One of the ways you can actually win people over is demonstrating how your product works, showing them what they will get from it, People need to see what they are going to get from your product. Remember, I use the word see, not hear. Even if you are speaking to them audibly, they need to see it and picture it in their mind that this is exactly what I'm going to get from this. And that is why last week we focused on that. The problem you solve. Then now, the quality delivery we mentioned today is how you are going to solve it. This is how I'm going to solve it. Once they see it, it's only money that can stop them. It's only money that can stop them from buying, or they don't need it. If they need it and they can see that what you do solves their problem, they will most likely buy from you. So if you are providing a service or you are providing a product, make sure that people can perceive the quality you offer. And then that people can actually experience that quality when they eventually decide to put their money in it. And then, part two, quality relationships. Talk to people with respect. Attend to them with respect. If somebody says, what I bought from you is so bad, and they start saying all manner of negative things, just put something at the back of your mind that what they are saying is, I'm angry with something. Genuinely find out what they're angry about. There's a particular client I have that, man, when he talks, he uses curse words, he uses all manner of things. But you know what? This guy has stayed with me for more than 2 years. Why is he staying? Because every time he's angry, I eventually go ahead to provide. Say, you've done this thing wrong. I actually tell myself, yes, it's wrong. If it's not wrong, he's not going to mention it. There's something I've discovered over here that companies value high quality and they believe in customers. If a customer says, what you have provided is bad, do you know what? They really don't argue. I mean, you have used a product for like months because there's a warranty covering that you can return it, because they actually promise that you can return it if anything is wrong with it within this period of time. Once you return it, they won't ask you for a picture of what went wrong. I mean, one happened recently and I was like, what's happening here? I told them that something I bought had an issue and I called. So I could have been lying or whatever. But you know what? They didn't even tell me to send a picture of what went wrong. They didn't do all that. They just said, okay, one moment. Let me find out. They found out that this thing is actually in warranty. I thought they were even going to ask me to return the product. They didn't say return the product. They just refunded the money. More than what I paid previously. I was like, what's happening here? How did these people think this way? And guess what? Whatever I want to buy, do you think I'm going to buy somewhere else? I'm going to buy from that company. Because now I can trust them. And not only about me, other people, I'm going to tell them, if you want to buy this thing, you want to have rest of mind, make sure you go to this company and get their warranty. Because they keep their words. So, this is so important today that even as Christians, and guess what? As a child of God, nobody even needs to teach us all these things. It is the truth. Provide quality. What you said you will do, do it and do more. Promise less, over-deliver. Under promise, but over-deliver. And then, quality relationship. Form relationship with these people. There's something I used to do. Almost all my clients, I know many things about their family. Funny enough. Somehow, we just get talking. I give them time. And we talk about their family. Almost all my clients have stayed with me for years. I can tell you many things about their family. I even know the birthdays of some of them. That I will greet them on their birthdays. They are super happy. And they have referred many people to me. So the same way in closing today, make sure you are an ambassador of Christ. The reason you are in business is not just to make money, but as a means of doing ministry. You are showing the world what Jesus is like. So we're going to end it here today, and this will be where we actually stop it for today. And please don't miss all the episodes coming as we wrap up. Now, don't miss all the episodes coming. We'll be talking about communication very soon, and we'll be breaking it down in different places. I can boldly tell you that all the things that will be revealed in this series, they came the same way God has revealed some things to me in time past, and they worked. Like yesterday, Friday night till Saturday, I can tell you that the Holy Spirit was practically teaching me things from scriptures, showed me even the principle of God that he used to build the kingdom, the church that we have now. And these are the things that will be revealed. I've just revealed some of them to you now, but many of them are in line. Please don't miss it, and please don't be selfish about these things. Invite other people so that they can learn these things and also be blessed in their own business too. So as we wrap up today, do we have any questions? Does anybody have a question? Please feel free to share your question in the little time we have yet. Praise God.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening.
Please, I have a question I would like to ask you.
Okay, please go.
And my question is, in business, when exactly or at what point can we consider diversification?
Okay. At what point do we consider diversification? Okay. I'll try to answer that as God helps me. So, number one, you consider diversification when you have been able to have your footing in the one you are doing right now. Previously, we mentioned about niching down, like focusing on one tiny aspect, one particular set of people. See, you can actually expand and expand. I mentioned the case of Amazon. They were selling books online. Can you imagine? And now I can say that they are not even popular for books. If you go to Amazon website now, you're not going to see more of books. You're going to see more of every other thing and less of books. So they had their standing in business. They were able to learn. They were able to know how to manage their staff. They had their clarity. Then they began to diversify. If you diversify too early, you'll be confused. So you need to be able to manage the one you're doing. Know that you are making profit in it. You are able to have quality staff. There are some things I'll be mentioning later, even how the life of Jesus taught us how to do business. Let me quickly share a little just to explain this question, but we'll be focusing more on that later. Jesus, when he came, he had disciples, right? He also had apostles. His apostles, he was always spending time with them. Those were the people he was training so that this ministry could diversify, in quotes. Because all he did then was just Israel. That was his niche when he came, in quote. The focus is actually to save everybody, but he didn't try to save everybody. His minimum viable product was Israel. And how big is Israel in the whole world? Very small. But everything he did was done for Israel and in Israel. In fact, the Syrophoenician woman that was able to get a miracle got it by putting pressure on Jesus and twisting the scripture, in quotes, that I don't mind even if you call me a dog, in quotes, but dogs can eat crumbs from the table that fall down. So that's how that woman was able to get. If not, Jesus was not planning to give anything to her, but Jesus still let her get a miracle, because eventually the gospel was for everyone. So Jesus focused on Israel alone. And after everything was done, everything has been performed, the model was completed, and Jesus now did the ultimate thing of dying on the cross. Then he told the disciples, wait, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, go into all the world. Now you can spread out. So diversification is done when you know that you're already succeeding in that one tiny thing you're doing right now. For example, in my business, our focus is right now in one particular line of business we are going into. Is a particular set of people. Those are the people we want to focus on. Do we have a plan to focus on other people? Yes. But when I learn from these people, then I will know what to do. You just replicate the same thing in other places. And you can even diversify into 20 places at once, because now you know how to handle this aspect of business. And in closing also, one of the things that happens in business is you yourself, you are being transformed. You are being changed. You are developing what it takes to lead people, because you really don't know how to lead people until you start leading them. Until you start growing, that's when you know what stuff can come out of you. So when you've overcome all these things, you've been able to manage yourself very well and your business very well, then you can now expand. In fact, at that time, you will know that it's time to expand, because people will begin to bring opportunities your way. You can buy businesses just like they do over here. People just buy businesses here and there. A man was telling me, he's retired now, he's made several millions in business. And he said, a man was working for him, and he just felt, hey, people love you where you work for me. I want to buy your company. Two things are going to happen. Either I buy your company, or I become your competitor. And you don't want that, because I have all the money. And the guy said, I don't even like running business in the first place. I just want to do my own thing. Come and buy. So when that time comes, you will know that, yes, it's time to diversify, because you have been able to manage the one thing you are doing right now. I hope that helps a little. I hope you are blessed by the response a little. I hope it answers it.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you. Okay. I know we'll be checking all these things. We have all these things written out. in the coming series. This series is going to be a long series, so be part of it. We'll come to the end of the episode today. If you have any question, maybe you want to ask me personally, or you want to put in the group, please feel free to send me a direct message or drop it in the chat. And I pray for everyone who has been a part of this today, that as you make efforts to grow in business, to expand in business, I pray that God Himself will favor you in the name of Jesus. Favor is that which can make everything you need to do in 1,000 years can come to you right now by favor. I pray that that favor will come to you in the name of Jesus. May God open your eyes to all the things you may be doing wrong right now that has chased away people from you. And may God give you the grace to do what is right in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye, everyone.
The good success has come.